I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local, your connection to local music and more. And on the show today, Matt and Tom Torino. Thomas Torino is professor of musicology and anthropology in the School of Music at the University of Illinois, but he also makes quite a specialty of playing lots of different kinds of roots music, of which we will hear some samples, along with his son, Matt, who is a fiddler and guitarist and in a number of groups of his own. And we'll hear some of their story separately and together, and we'll hear them playing live in our studio. Matt and Tom Torino, here they are from their newly released CD called Here and Far Away on Live and Local. That was a tune called Winter Sun by Matt and Tom Torino, who also performed, and from their new CD called Here and Far Away. Just recently came out, and we played the CD sort of by way of introduction, but also because they do some things on the CD they can't do live. They are here to play live for us here, because Matt played more than one fiddle on that recording, which he apparently can't do live, which disappoints me greatly, but, you know, we'll deal with what we have, and also played guitar. So two fiddles and guitar I'd really like to see played at once, and then Tom played the wood banjo, and I like the specific designation there, which we'll probably ask him about. Matt and Tom Torino are in the studio with us on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly, and thank you both for coming in.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thanks.
So the CD just out, what, a couple weeks or
yeah,
not
just,
even?
Just a couple weeks. We've been working on it since January, I think, in the studio with Mark Rubel, downtown Champaign Pogo Studios, one of the gems, one of the many gems of our community.
I'm finding that there are a lot of gems in Champaign-Urbana and also in other areas as well. And we're pleased to have featured a lot of folks, including Mark Rubel, on this show. So the first thing that intrigues me, Tom, and it was Tom who was just speaking, is about you is really this incredible mix of things that you put together in your life with this very highfalutin title of Professor of Musicology and Anthropology at the School of Music at the University of Illinois. Ethnomusicology, if you want to throw that in there, which is really kind of what it's all about. And your areas of specialization there they're different and they are not different from what you're going to do for us today in a number of ways. Andean music, Latin American music, music of Southern Africa. And here you're playing some different kinds of American roots music, old-time music. I heard you play Zydeco recently, Big Grove Zydeco, which, Matt, you also play in that band sometimes, right?
Yeah, when I'm around. I've been out of town a bit recently, but when I'm in town, I'm able to come play with them.
Yeah, and you've got plenty of your own bands going on, and you do some other things together.
Yeah, I've been keeping busy, so.
That's the idea. So, Tom, how did you get involved in the area? What interests you in the first place about the general area of ethnomusicology?
I was thinking about this morning. A girlfriend asked me in high school, I guess I was a junior, she said, what would you like to be doing in 10 years? And I was a product of the folk revival in a way, even in grammar school. The Kingston Trio and the Limelighters and all these kinds of mainstream folk revivalists. Well, my best friend's older brother was in a band like that. So I got interested in acoustic guitar and banjo. So this girlfriend asks me, I'm a sophomore and junior in high school, what would you like to be doing in 10 years? And I said, I'd like to be a folk singer. Well, she immediately broke up with me. but I kept practicing. And when I went to college, I actually was introduced to the music of Southern India. And I studied an instrument called the veena and ended up going to what was then called Madras. Chennai is what it's called today. And studied that instrument and decided I really wanted to. I was introduced to ethnomusicology as an undergraduate at Colgate University and decided I wanted to do it. But I encountered some recordings of Andean music, flutes and the stringed instrument called the charango that they play in the Andes. And I was working, I was going to school in the day and working in an acute schizophrenic ward at night. And was really getting burned out and decided that I should go to the Andes and see if I really wanted to become an ethnomusicologist. So I went down and met this man named Julio Benavente, who became my teacher and friend for many, many years, and just really got into studying Andean music. And then I went to grad school for that and became an ethnomusicologist.
So things just sort of fall into place. I mean, even how you decided to pick up Vino is something you drink. The Vina in college. I mean, one doesn't just typically get handed one of those things.
No, that was a kind of sad story. I actually...
Was this another breakup?
There were these projects in January that you could do an independent research project. And I had played banjo in high school, but there was this great banjo player on campus, and I was a freshman, and I wanted to take banjo lessons for my January project from this guy and get further on that instrument. And my advisor said, no, you can't do that, because there's no intellectual content in the banjo. Playing the banjo is, and this is a direct quote, I'll never forget it, playing the banjo is like driving a truck. And I said, oh. And he said, but there's this South Indian veena master coming to campus for the month of January, and you can study veena with him. So playing the banjo was like driving a truck, and playing the veena was like driving a Mercedes, I guess. And so I got to do that, and I got introduced to it and got into it. And that also back in those days, I mean, that was the era of the Beatles and the sitar and so on and so forth. And the veena is a South Indian stringed instrument that's sort of related to the sitar. And so it was in the air, and it was appealing.
But in India, is the veena like there, playing the Vina there, like driving a truck or like driving a Mercedes?
It's like driving a Rolls Royce.
Oh, even better.
Yeah.
So it's an elite instrument.
It's
in,
an elite
in South
instrument.
Well,
yeah.
That's interesting. So then you did end up deciding to play the banjo anyway.
Well,
eventually.
And as I said, I was playing it.
Yeah.
I wanted to learn a different style that this man could have taught me, but anyway.
But you're very much incorporating it into your life.
Banjo's always, you know. It's probably the guitar and the banjo have been in my life the longest. And the banjo is the instrument I'm probably most deeply attached to.
And Zydeco music is something you're doing.
Right. I play button accordions in that band.
Old-time music.
Old-time.
That we're going to talk about in a little bit. And you have passed all this along, either by accident or intentionally, and was it a little of both, to Matt here?
Well, I think it was pretty intentionally for the most part. I mean, I started playing fiddle when I was a pretty young kid.
How old were you?
I was 7 years old. And my dad was pretty happy at the thought of me wanting to learn an instrument, and so I'm sure he was very encouraging. And
so did you decide you wanted to learn it and say, hey, can I do that?
Yeah, that's my impression.
Or did he hand it to you and said, here, kid, play this?
I'm not sure. I think I wanted to. I'm not entirely sure. Do you have
I remember that.
Which part?
I remember that.
Here, kid, play this?
No. all the instruments I played at that time, I'm playing fiddle now, but I didn't play fiddle then. And the instruments I play, accordion, in Cajun music has the fiddle. And in old-time music, the banjo has the fiddle. And so the fiddle was the perfect instrument for most of the music I did. And so I said to Matt, I do remember this, and I said to Matt, so what instrument would you like to play? And he said the violin.
And when he's seven.
Yeah. And I couldn't have been happier. So he took a year's worth of lessons and at the U of I, and Claudia, I don't remember Claudia's last name, but she was a wonderful person and
actually
teacher.
I think I know Claudia and I can't remember her last name either.
But she taught Matt for a year, and Matt was crazy about her. And then she left, and when she left,
we couldn't find another teacher really that I could. I don't know if I was too stuck up or snobby about things or what, but I just had trouble dealing with other teachers or their styles. Or we tried a number of people, and none of them ever worked out for very long. So
kids don't get stuck up at seven, do they?
Maybe I was. I don't know what my problem was. Maybe I was just spoiled by Claudia. Maybe I couldn't deal with somebody else's teaching style after what she had helped me do or whatnot. But yeah, from there on, I pretty much kind of worked on my own and with my dad here. So he didn't play fiddle, but like he was saying, he played all the instruments that went along with fiddle. So, and he knew what fiddle was kind of supposed to sound like. And so he was able to kind of coax me along and add new elements in, like trying to get me to play double stops and different rhythms with the bow and things like that. So he kind of helped teach me as I went along. And
I remember one day we were sitting on the porch and Matt didn't know. You should demonstrate what a shuffle is.
Okay. So if you're playing a tune, this is Angeline the Baker, you just go. And then if you add the shuffle, which is kind of what is in a lot of different traditional music, it adds a lot of rhythm to the melody and helps it be dance music a lot more effectively. So it's kind of like. So it kind of gives it a pulse to the melody on top of what you're playing. So
I remember we were sitting on the porch one day playing together, and I said, so it sounds like this, da, 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 do that with your bow. And then he just did it.
And that was that.
And he's been shuffling ever since.
Much to the chagrin of some people.
Some people don't like shuffling, is that
well,
it?
Well, I probably shuffle too much of the time for some people's tastes. And in different genres that aren't usually shuffled as much as what I like to do with them. So
well, see, that's another thing that interests me is that you play so many different types of music, and the influences have to cross over all the time.
They do.
I mean, it's got to get downright confusing, I would think.
Well, my strategy was always to play a particular instrument in a particular style. So when I was playing all the time, I played banjo. And when I was playing Peruvian music, I played this little 10-stringed instrument called the charango. And when I play Zimbabwean music, I play an instrument called the mbira, which is a large thumb piano. And so I tried to keep things kind of separate in my head. But it's true, to come back to the CD, this CD, we think of it as coming, or at least I think of it as coming out of old time, because that's sort of our strongest tradition, Matt and I in the house, you know, what we play kind of best and what we play sort of most fondly. But we started composing tunes. And it's in the composition of it where we started really going off. So we add different harmonies, and we modulate between parts. For instance, they'll be in different keys, which is not really an old-time thing very often. And brought in influences, brought in influences from Peru. So, for instance, one of the tunes on the CD, which is called Clear Light, has a separate fast section at the end, which in Peru, all these tunes have this thing they call the fuga, which is this concluding section, which is a little bit faster and sort of more animated for dancing. So we put a fuga on this old-time piece. And so that kind of mixing happens all the time. Yeah, and it just felt right. So, but our thing, you know, with the folk revivals, sometimes revivalists get very kind of strict about how you can do things. You have to do it just like the records from the 1920s or it's no good. And that's never been my attitude. I have always felt that, you know, I've been playing the banjo for a long time now. It's my instrument. I can do whatever I want with it.
You've earned the right.
Yeah. And in some, actually, even some vena licks come into my banjo playing and have been there for a really long time. Finger things that I learned on that instrument have influenced this instrument. So, yeah.
Well, there's fundamentalists in every endeavor, it seems like. And so I guess there's this fundamentalists in old time, just like there are in Baroque music, who
Absolutely.
Now say Baroque music should be played in a certain way. But yet, there's no way you can play Baroque music now, attempting to do it the way you think people did it then,
right,
without bringing in modern sensibility somehow
right.
or another.
Absolutely.
Right? Whether you think you're doing it or not.
Well, I always say, you know, the authenticity thing, since I live here now and I've been to India and Zimbabwe and Peru and played all that music too, if I tried to play just like a West Virginian from the 1920s, that would be inauthentic. And kind of doing all this mixing is basically authentically me. So that's what I should be doing.
Well, that's the important thing, authentically you. Exactly. Well, let's hear something that's authentically Torino's, Matt and Tom. Matt will be on fiddle for this one, and Tom on banjo. What are we going to hear?
This is a tune called Devil in the Details. I actually composed it on the fiddle, but on the CD, Matt's playing fiddle and I'm playing banjo. And I usually play it on the fiddle, but once when we decided to do it for the recording, I figured out a banjo part for it, basically. And so...
All right, here we have it. The Torinos on Live and Local.
Thank you.
Devil in the Details, music by Tom Torino, played by Matt and Tom Torino. Tom was on the banjo, Matt on the fiddle. Where does the name come from?
That's the hardest thing about composing these tunes, is naming them. It's just there. Yeah.
It's just a name.
Just a name.
Most of these tunes end up not really having a name for a long time, and then finally, when we like record them, we're kind of forced to make a name for them. So we're like, well, how about this? And then we're like, okay. So there's a few exceptions for that, but
sometimes tunes are composed for people. So for instance,
yeah, the next, I don't know if you're ready for another tune,
sure.
But the next tune we're gonna play is one I made up for my little sister, Chrissy Torino, who has recently come back into town, and it's been lovely to have her back home. So, but this I made up maybe 2 years ago, and it's called Chris and My Sister.
I was actually looking at that while you were playing the last tune, and I was thinking about the name question. Right. I thought, what? That one has got to have an explanation.
Absolutely.
And there it is.
There you have it.
Chris and My Sister. I like that.
Yeah.
The Torinos here on Live and Local.
And speaking of which, if Chrissy's listening, with my little nephews are visiting from Long Island, Max and Lucian, if you're out there, hello. I hope you're listening.
Thank you. Crissa My Sissa. I really like that title. Matt Torino's tune from 2007. It appears on Matt and Tom Torino's new CD called Here and Far Away, recorded at Pogo Studio in downtown Champaign. Matt and Tom are my guests here on Live and Local today on FM 90.9. Our programs today are made possible with support from the University of Illinois School of Music, presenting the Allerton Music Barn Festival, September 3rd through the 7th at Allerton Park. More information is at www.allertonmusicbarn.com. And actually, the Allerton Music Barn Festival has been a topic of conversation here at WYLL and will continue to be. We will be bringing you as many of the performers from that event on this show as possible, and Roger Cooper here at WYLL will be hosting a number of those, if not most of those programs at the Allerton Barn, and that's a wonderful mix of music representing a lot of what's going on at the University of Illinois School of Music. You know, Tom, when I heard you play, I'm sorry to say that I think the first time I heard you play was pretty recently at the Farmers Market in downtown Urbana. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen your name for years, ever since I've been here, and there's a lot of musicology folks who I just never encountered when I was at the music school, as well as anybody else who wasn't in my sphere of performance. And then, you know, I knew you played in various groups, and here you and Matt are sitting doing exactly what you just did. For coins and bills with the open guitar case or whatever instrument it was out there. And then I saw you playing, Tom, with Big Grove Zydeco and Ben Smith, I guess, playing in Matt's place for that thing out at Alta Vineyards in Champaign. Well, and I found myself wondering, what is he like as a professor? What's it like to take a class? How do you divide up? Is there a division within you, Tom, that you know you go and are this person in the classroom, and then you're this person at night, or is the person that I'm seeing now and that I saw at these outside gigs, is that the person that shows up in the classroom?
Pretty much. I mean, I should ask my students this.
Well, I was thinking I probably should, or how would a student answer that question?
Yeah, I mean, I think. The students I'm close to have no trouble. So I'm playing in bars and I'm playing in the market. I think sometimes people laugh. I used to, certain deans used to walk by me playing in the farmer's market, and I just said, well, you know, things are hard at the university. We're not paid very well, so my kids are in college. We have to make it where we can. But I remember a few times students would say if I was playing at the Cowboy Monkey or at the Iron Post, and sometimes the Big Grove Zydeco band, you know, we get a little rowdy sometimes, and I have a kind of gruff singing style when I sing with that band, and I remember a few students being surprised, but most of them I think really like it. And I mean, what I teach is about, I mean, one of my main agendas in teaching is actually to teach about musical participation and to kind of try to inspire people to get involved, particularly in my big undergraduate gen ed courses. So the fact that I'm doing it all the time as well as teaching about it, I think only helps. I play a lot in the classroom. So I teach about African music and I play it for them. And I've tried to learn to play everything that I've really specialized in so that I mean, I think that really helps in the teaching. So I don't feel a split very much.
So what are the names of the courses you teach?
Well, the big one I teach is called Introduction to World Music, Music 133, and that can be 240 students. And I've just finished a new book called Music a Social Life, which I'm using as the textbook in that course. And there's a chapter on old time in there. There's a chapter on Zimbabwe. There's a lot of stuff about Peru. There's actually a chapter on music and politics, and I use the Nazis and the civil rights movement as sort of the light and the dark side of the processes that music can be used for. But a central argument of that book is that there are these kinds of music that are really participatory musics and that everybody can and should get involved with. Should in the sense that music is just such a a kind of self-expanding activity, like sports is too. I mean, there's a number of things that we have as humans that are universal and have been throughout time that just make us fuller, better people, and music is one of those things. And so, and since that's what I love, it's the thing I push. But I know there are other things, sports equally important in terms of participatory sports. So that's kind of what one of my agendas when I teach. So the fact that they see me doing it in the farmer's market, and I teach about peasant music, I teach about music that would be played in the street on festivals and so on and so forth. So I've always tried to learn from my research and try to, I see them having fun, I might as well have fun too.
What are the more specialized courses you teach besides the general intro?
Well, I could go to the other end of the spectrum and musical semiotics, and it's music as sign, music as communication and meaning, how meaning is created through and how sound is becomes meaningful. There was an American philosopher, I'm glad to be able to get this on the show, Charles Saunders Peirce, American philosopher of the second half of the 19th century through the first decade of the 20th century, one of our greatest philosophers, really invented this sort of theoretical model for how signs work in social life, how, I don't know, is that communicating? It's not. The word symbol would be used sort of in layman's terms to talk about this. So anyway, that's the most sort of technical thing, probably at the other end of the spectrum. And it's one of the things I've been into the most.
I'm actually trying to, as you're saying that, I'm trying to remember the name of a book that I think we had in when I was in music school. That sounded rather like that, and I
emotion
and
meaning
remember.
In music by Leonard Meyer.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I remember there was a book called The Forest People.
Oh, that's Colin Turnbull.
That we had in a yep. musicology class, and I was reading some interview online with you about some very specialized topic. I think one of your books that somebody was interviewing you about, and you mentioned Paul Berliner.
Uh huh.
Who actually was my musicology professor at Northwestern.
Really?
Yeah, awesome. And I remember, I mean, and that was, and I mentioned this on one other occasion on this show, I don't remember who was the guest here, and I remember, it was the, interestingly there, I don't know how they do it here at the University of Illinois, but when you take a two-year survey, or at least at the time when I was there, when you took the two-year music history survey, they started with world music.
Yep, they still do, Music 110.
Is that what they do here?
Yep.
Which is kind of an interesting approach in a way that makes a lot of sense to me. And then they give you all the specialized
sure.
Classical stuff.
Right.
Do you what's the place of ethnomusicology in the School of Music here?
What do you mean?
Well, you know, you usually think of a School of Music as a bastion of classical music.
Ah.
And here, I mean it. In the last few years, jazz has become a very, very big thing.
Ethnomusicology, the first book I ever read in ethnomusicology as an undergraduate was by a man named Bruno Nettle, and it was published in this place I'd never heard of called Urbana, Illinois, and this was a great book, and this guy was obviously one of the greats of the field, and I thought, what is this guy doing? I haven't ever even heard of this place. Where is this? You know, I was born on the East Coast. East Coasters are very provincial. And so anything past Philadelphia is unknown, except until you get to the West Coast. So Bruno has been here for a long time. He's built up the ethnomusicology program. He's built up the field of ethnomusicology throughout the world, actually. You know, he's done an amazing, his career has been an amazing one in terms of the rise of this discipline. And so this university, this was my first job. Right out of grad school, and I'm still here. I sort of felt like I started at the top, and have been honored to be able to stay here ever since. So ethno is very strong here. It's one of the best programs, if I may say so ourselves, in the country. And so we have a very strong place in the School of Music. And the director is, Carl Kramer, is very, very supportive of ethnomusicology, helped get the Center for World Music here. He's very interested in Bali and different kinds of music himself. So It's a great place to do ethno.
And there's a gamelan.
There's a gamelan.
Fairly recently acquired, I think.
We've had the gamelan for quite a while, actually.
Has it been here?
We've had the gamelan for a while. I've taught Andy and panpipes in a large ensemble for many years. I teach in Bira. Donna Buchanan, my colleague in ethno, teaches a Balkan music ensemble. They perform out. So there's really quite a lot of activity. Right now we have a drummer from Guinea teaching at the Center for World Music.
Musa Bolokada Conde. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was actually our second guest on the show.
Huh.
But oddly enough, I mean, we thought this would be a mostly classical show when we got it going in February. Uh-huh. And it has turned out to be mostly not.
And now I'm driving a truck in here.
And now you're driving a truck, the banjo, right. Talk to me about this particular banjo.
Oh, okay.
It's the last time we had a banjo in here, it was a much bigger one.
Really? Yeah. This is a wonderful banjo. This is, it's an open back five string banjo, which is what is preferred by old time players. The other thing that I should mention is the way I'm playing is a style called frailing or claw hammer. And I strike down on the strings and then play other strings with my thumb. So it's just a two finger technique, which I think actually originated in Africa as the banjo itself did. And it came into sort of American popular culture through the 19th century minstrel show. And now the minstrels published banjo. The banjo became a popular instrument through the minstrel show. And it was diffused widely through that. And the instrument itself, this drum-like body with a neck, was developed at that time. Before that, they were made out of gourds, like the African instruments. But the minstrels also published manuals, just like bands nowadays publish CDs to make extra money. Well, they published instructional manuals, how to play the five-string banjo. And so the technique that I'm using comes from the mid-19th century. And I think it pretty clearly, it's not exactly the same thing as most West African lute technique, but it's very similar to that. This instrument was built by a guy named Kevin Enoch. There are a lot of contemporary makers now. I mean, we mentioned the folk revival a little while ago. I mean, old-time string band music, I should say, was just community music making, string band music for dancing and for recreation. 19th century, early 20th century. It gets recorded in the 1920s. And so it had a kind of brief commercial moment. And then it faded. Jimmy Rogers and the guitar take over in country music. But the revival at the end of the 1950s brings this kind of old-time string music back. And so nowadays, there's all these pockets, and I want to actually talk about this in a little bit, but we should probably play a tune. There's pockets all over the country of old-time string band sort of cohorts, communities. And there's a strong one here. It's really interesting. And along with the growth of this from the revival are these instrument makers. And so there's new banjo makers all over the country. And Kevin's banjos are just, I mean, I wish this was a TV for this moment. Just beautiful tiger maple neck and just really excellently crafted instruments.
Yeah, it's beautiful to look at.
Yeah.
So
let's play a banjo tune. This is another one of my tunes. It's called Water Under the Bridge. It's on the CD. And this, I guess this would be one of those ones that I think has been influenced by sort of elsewhere. Hence the title of the CD, by the way. I mean, that was thoughtful, Here and Far Away. I mean, so the influence is local, but also distant. Anyway, Water Under the Bridge.
the father-son duo of Tom and Matt Torino, in that order. Tom playing the banjo and Matt on the guitar in that tune called Water Under the Bridge from their very recently released CD called Here and Far Away, Matt and Tom Torino, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our programs today are made possible with support from Women's Health Practice and Dr. Suzanne Troopin, offering obstetrics, gynecology, and fertility services on Neal in Champaign. Women's Health Practice is a Health Alliance medical plan provider and is accepting new patients. More information is available at womenshealthpractice.com. Here's a few events that you can go out and see and hear live in your area, which I mentioned here on Live and Local. And Strings Attached is a bluegrass band performing at Dockside Cafe at Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood tonight at 5:30. And I'm not sure this is accurate. Is it Matt and Ben tonight, or is it Matt and Tom tonight?
Matt and Ben.
Matt and Ben. Yeah, Matt Torino and Ben Smith happen to be performing tonight at the Iron Post in Urbana. That is at 7 o'clock. I saw it both ways somewhere. That's why I asked. Tomorrow night, Zoo Improv Comedy is performing also at the Iron Post, downtown Urbana. That's at 8 o'clock. The Peoria Municipal Band giving a concert tomorrow night at 7:30 at Glen Oak Park in Peoria. There's the weekly Irish Traditional Music Session at Bentley's Pub in downtown Champaign. That is at 7 o'clock. And CU Folk and Roots presents the Hudsons and Richie Taylor String Band at the Canopy Club in Urbana. That's tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And I was just handed a couple of flyers here by Tom Torino, a fundraiser for the CU Folk and Roots Festival, which is coming up later in September. Is on this coming Sunday, the 23rd, from noon to 8 at the Channing Murray Foundation. They're calling the program Music for the Young and Young at Heart. Some of it takes place at the Red Herring around in the same building also. They've got a family dance, some kids' songs and music, hosted by Banjulele, some Yiddish dancing to live klezmer music, Dan Keating telling stories, an all-ages drumming session. There's a clogging workshop, what they're calling a gorilla instrument sampler, and that's not the animal, that's the G-U-E-R, how many R's? RRILLA, instrument sampler, a kids' folk art workshop, and an acoustic music showcase.
Featuring the Hathaways, Kate and James Hathaway will be playing down in the Red Herring in the evening.
Right, Kate and James were on the show, I forget how long ago, and Kate talked quite a bit about your influence on her and sending her down to the Andes to learn
the charango.
Yep. For more information, by the way, on CU Folk and Roots, you can go go to cufolkandroots.org. And then Matt and Tom Torino doing their CD release party. That's coming up on Saturday, September 5th, at the Iron Post in Urbana. That's at 9 o'clock. New tunes from Central Illinois. They're Here and Far Away CD. Matt, and you're listening to Live and Local here on FM 90.9. I'll have a weather forecast for you right around 1 o'clock. News headlines at 1:01. Jeff Esworthy comes back with classical music at 1:06. Matt, you've lived with this guy, Tom, for a long time. I don't know if you're living at home currently or not.
I kind of am, actually, for this week. But generally, I kind of have an odd housing in-between moment right now where my former lease and my future home are not on the same schedule, so I'm actually crashing at his house for this week.
That goes on a lot in this particular community where people are in limbo.
Yeah, so
how much do you see the academic side of him?
Most of the time, not so much. Every so often, like the philosopher that he referenced earlier, he's constantly using various references to his purse's work. Just in daily life, so that's there for sure. And I mean, you can't take the academic out of him completely, but he's, for the most part, we don't talk about academic things that often.
You were just rubbing your temple as you said that. I was thinking, is that a sign that it gives you a headache?
Not too bad.
We used to go on these long road trips, and I would teach him about purse, and I would like grill him about these concepts.
So you're trying anyway. How much is the academic sticking, or are you pretty much, you're the you're the performer?
At the moment, I'm the performer. I don't see myself going much farther in academics, personally. I, at the moment, am doing things like house painting and playing music, and I did a bit of brick masonry work this last winter. So I'm kind of doing a lot of random things. I've worked on farms the last couple summers, so I've been more doing outdoor kind of work. I'm not sure. I'm an indoor work kind of person, at least at the moment, so I haven't really pursued any sort of... I've gotten a college degree, but that's about all I'm looking at right now.
And what is your college degree in?
Environmental policy.
Well, no, that's a whole nother topic, isn't
it? Yes, yeah. That will take us on a whole nother tangent. But.
We'll no doubt have you on again. We had you on with Ben Smith not long ago. And you play with a number of different bands yourself. We'll talk about whichever ones you want to mention.
Well, the band that's kind of taking up most of my time right now, I'm playing with a fellow named Dennis Stromat, and he does Cajun music with a band called Creole Stomp. And so we've been traveling around with him doing that music quite a bit. And then he also has a band that does Missouri and Illinois French music. There was a French population that settled in this area in the 1700s, so he's doing the traditional music from that era. And so I've been playing with that band. My main loves as far as musically goes are playing with my dad here and just the two of us, and then with our contra dance band called U4. And so my biggest musical passion is playing for contra dances, basically. And so I do that with U4, with my dad, and then also with Ben Smith, who you mentioned earlier, who I play with. So those are kind of my two favorite things to play.
Do you still have the band with Ben that you were on here with that you call
Absolutely.
Prairie Chicken
Asylum?
Asylum.
Yeah, that was kind of an interim name. We are now called the Mean Lids, actually. But yeah, I mean, we still play. Actually, right before coming here, I was playing a few tunes with him, and we're playing tonight at the Post, so we were kind of running over a couple things. So
I like that name, Prairie Chicken Asylum.
Okay.
I remembered it.
That's pretty
almost,
good.
Almost remembered all of it. You're geared up to play something.
Yeah.
What's it going to be?
Do a waltz by Matt called the May Day Waltz. I should also mention, since we've been hawking this CD so hard, that locally it's available at Exile on Main Street, downtown Champaign, and at Priceless Books, downtown Urbana. So we have some copies in there, and you can also get it soon. It will be soon available on CD Baby online, and you could email Matt at...
theturinos@gmail.com. So that's the and turinos@gmail.com. And then we also have a MySpace page. So if you go to our MySpace page, just look up the Turinos, then we're on MySpace. So you can hopefully contact us through that as well.
And Matt Turino is also on.
I also have my own MySpace page. So if you want to do it that way, you can also contact me there. I will, even though it's not officially the Torino's MySpace page, I will sell you a CD. So,
at every opportunity.
At every opportunity possible.
Okay. It's the Torino's on that FM 90.9.
The opportunity just to talk a little bit about the folk festival that's coming up on September 25th and 26th. Is that right? The date's right. 25th and 26th of September, downtown Urbana, in that little area around the Iron Post and the Urbana Free Library. There's going to be a great conjunto band from Austin, Texas, Los T-Birds, and we are going to have Liz Carroll coming down doing Irish fiddling from Chicago. And Robbie Fuchs is doing country and singing, singer-songwriter. A lot of different local musicians and acts. Dennis Stromat and Creole Stomp, whom Matt's playing with, is going to be playing a Cajun dance on Friday night. Lots of activities, lots of jams, lots of art on the street. September 25th and 26th, downtown Urbana. It's our first annual. Please come out to that and support local music and support local old-time and roots music.
And we will have some folks on the show and mention it as often as we can.
Great.
Mayday Waltz, tuned by Matt Torino, performed by Matt and Tom, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Matt on the fiddle, Tom on the guitar. And on their CD called Here and Far Away, there's actually a couple of fiddles dubbed on there, and Tom guitar and triangle, and then also add, what's the name of your bass player?
J.B. Ferris. Thank you for bringing that up. J.B. Came into the studio and in 2 hours laid all this down. It was remarkable. The guy's a genius. It's another just an example of gems in this area. JB is certainly one of them. Tremendous musician. He also plays in Big Grove Zydeco. And there's so many great musicians in this town. We're really lucky to have such a vibrant music scene.
There is just no shortage of music.
Really?
I mean, any weekend, almost any night.
Right. And all kinds.
And not only Champaign-Urbana, and I'm trying to become more familiar with many other areas that our station serves, and which gives me an opportunity to say that if you are involved with a music group or a theater group or a dance group, let us know about your event or about your organization. If you're in the sound of my voice, we're interested in knowing and letting our listeners know about your group. The easiest way to get hold of me is just send it to our calendar address. It's willcalendar@illinois.edu, willcalendar@illinois.edu. And if you're interested in Matt and Tom Torino's CD, myspace.com, and look up The Torinos or Matt Torino. Either way, you'll find it. Or you can email thetorinos@gmail.com.
Or you can go down to Exile on Main Street in downtown Champaign, or Priceless Books in downtown Urbana.
Urbana. We got Champaign and Urbana covered. And, send them off somewhere in Decatur and Springfield and Charleston. And I'd really like to know what's going on in all those communities and everywhere else as well. Really appreciate your coming on the show today.
It's been great. Thanks for having us.
And I imagine we'll be seeing you in one other iteration or another on this show and around town. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. My guests have been Matt and Tom Torino. And coming up, a little weather forecast, news, and classical music at 106. I'm Kevin Kelly.